Not long after 9/11, one of the mothers of a child in the Sunday school I oversaw in a church in Virginia came to see me. It turns out that she had hoped to shield her 6-year-old son from what had happened on 9/11. And so for a couple weeks, she didn't turn on the TV. She grabbed the newspaper and magazines as soon as they came in and hid them. But one day, a couple weeks later, her son came home and he had just heard this godly play story about Noah, the flood. And he asked his mother if God was going to send another flood to wipe out those bad people who flew the airplanes into the buildings. It's easy to understand the impulse to protect ourselves and those we love from any kind of knowledge of pain and suffering. When my son was younger, I similarly tried to shield him from many things: death, divorce, suicide, cancer, as well as tragic world events, until he was just a little bit older. I don't know about you, but there are times when I feel so overwhelmed by what's going on in the lives of people I love and what's going on in my country and in the world, that I just start to feel overwhelmed by the suffering, my suffering, and especially the suffering of others. Sometimes I start to feel so overcome by the heaviness of it all that I just want to turn off my computer, stop watching CNN, and do something that will distract me. Much of modernity was about trying to control and manage people and the environment to avoid suffering, but its efforts came up short. Many books and movies have explored the possibility of a world without pain and suffering. I think of Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, or one of my favorite books, Lois Lowry's The Giver, which was recently turned into a movie. In The Giver, Lowry focuses on a boy named Jonas who is chosen to be the person who will learn things about his community, about life and world history that his community can't even dream of. And he's to be the repository of memories so that he can be consulted when important decisions are being made. He will be exposed to pleasurable things and experiences like snow and sledding, which we have no knowledge of this winter. Or he will also be, on the other hand, be exposed to painful things like war. At first, he's exposed to the pleasurable experiences, and he just gets so excited and wants to receive more and more of them. But eventually, the giver exposes him to painful things, and those painful things are so overwhelming to him, he can hardly bear them, and he wants to stop, and he no longer wants to take on the role of storing the memories for the community. But eventually, Jonas realizes that if he wants to feel and enjoy the most beautiful and pleasurable aspects of life, he must also experience pain. The two can't be separated. Over the course of our lives, many of us try to comprehend how there can be so much goodness and joy in life, as well as so much suffering and misery. Sometimes the suffering and the misery in our personal lives, our community and world seems to be greater than the things that give us life. We wonder if we'll ever have the relationship with friends and family that we desire, if there will ever be an end to the fighting in places like Syria, if schools will ever be free from violence, and if we'll be able to overcome racism and the impulse to want to think ourselves better than others. We also wonder where God is in all of this. Tonight, we are here to remember and celebrate the fact that God has not given up on us. Despite our shortcomings and the pain that we inflict on ourselves and others, God has not given up on the world God made. This same message was delivered to the shepherds in the fields the night of Jesus' birth as they sat doing their job, watching their flock. God went to a group many people had given up on, a group thought to be well outside the bounds of religious respectability, and said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." In Jesus, whose birth we remember this holy night, God exposes God's self to the world passionately and lovingly. God didn't come to us in great power and glory as a conquering warrior, or to seek vengeance for the havoc that we had wreaked on one another and this beautiful earth. Instead, God came to us in great vulnerability as a tiny, helpless baby born to a poor, unwed mother on the margins of the Roman Empire. God came to us in great fragility and humility to serve, not to be served. In this way, God modeled and invited us into a way of life so very different from the values worshipped by American culture: power, prestige, money, and celebrity. In this child who ended up loving, healing, teaching, and encouraging people to follow God's ways, as well as restoring them to right relationship with God and one another, we see God's face towards us, a face of compassion. Why, you may ask, did God not abandon the world once people chose to ignore God's vision for human and global flourishing? Why did God not turn God's back and start anew? The scriptures tell us that God's very nature is love, a love pure, deeper, and more committed than we can imagine. Love does not abandon what is flawed, but commits itself to healing and redeeming whatever is broken, painful, or lost. God grieves when we suffer or inflict suffering on others. God grieves when we damage the earth in search of short-term profit. God grieves when we fail to recognize that all people are made in the image of God and have dignity, no matter where they live and whatever context they were born into. Tonight, we give thanks that God chose to join us in our reality, in our suffering and shortcomings, in order to heal us and our world. God was present with Mary and Joseph when their child was born in a simple stable, and God is present with us in every circumstance and situation, especially those that feel bleak and overwhelming. This God we worship is most often found not in beautiful, perfect church buildings or perfect lives, but in the most broken, painful, and vulnerable places in our lives and world. As Welsh Anglican priest and poet R.S. Thomas reminds us in his poem, The Coming, "And God held in his hand a small globe. Look, he said. The sun looked. Far off, as through water, he saw a scorched land of fierce color. The light burned there. Crusted buildings cast their shadows. A bright serpent, a river uncoiled itself, radiant with slime. On a bare hill, a bare tree saddened the sky. Many people held out their thin arms to it, as though waiting for a vanished April to return to its crossed boughs. The sun watched them. Let me go there, he said. Amen.